Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Of course, this happens on Monday, and he apologizes on Wednesday, and we're just getting it today. Bill Maher, the irreverent host of late-night talk show Politically Incorrect, apologized on Wednesday for saying some U.S. military actions were cowardly, a remark many said was not only politically incorrect but offensive. His televised comments Monday night prompted Sears and FedEx to cancel their advertising on the program, citing complaints they had received from angry viewers. FedEx. The show is broadcast on ABC, a unit of Walt Disney Company. In a statement issued through his publicist, Maher said his views should have been expressed differently. In no way was I intending to say, nor have I ever thought, that the men and women who defend our nation in uniform are anything but courageous and valiant, and I offer my apologies to anyone who took it wrong. According to a transcript, Maher made the reference while discussing past U.S. military campaigns. We have been the cowards lobbing cruise missiles from 2,000 miles away, he said. That's cowardly. Maher contrasted the U.S. military actions to those taken by attackers who flew hijacked commercial airliners into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon last week. President Bush has called the attacks cowardly acts. Staying in the airplane when it hits the building, say what you want about it, it's not cowardly. That's what we said last week. That's what I was last week on the show. I love how TV sort of just follows radio when it comes to the real explosive and controversial statements of our time. Bill Maher says it on Monday, and of course, he works for Disney. Walt Disney is not equipped. That company is not equipped to be in the broadcast business. Not the talk radio business anyway. Not the business of airing opinion and discussing controversial areas of the news. They're just not equipped to be in that business. Yeah, they can. I shouldn't say broadcast because they make good kids shows, and you know, and all that other stuff's fantastic. Disney Radio, that's neat, but the business of actually doing controversial news commentary and review, they're not equipped to be in that business. They are constantly crying and complaining and kvetching about it. They're constantly backpedaling. I've never seen a company apologize more for one thing or another than that company. I mean, it's a great place. I love taking the kids to Disneyland. We took them down to Disney World. I think it's fantastic. When it comes to cotton candy and Mickey Mouse, nobody beats them. But they are not, in my opinion, or is this going to get me in trouble talking about them? In his statement Wednesday, Maher said his criticism of U.S. military actions was meant for politicians who, fearing public reaction, have not allowed our military to do the job they are obviously ready, willing, and able to do. Oh, that's bullcrap, Bill. Come on, be a man and stand by what you said originally. I understand what you said originally. You said lobbing cruise missiles from 2,000 miles away is cowardly compared to flying an airplane into a building, all right? I don't know whether I agree with it or not. In fact, I don't agree with the cowardly as it pertains to 2,000 miles away with cruise missiles, although I did say on our show last week that call it what you want, murderous, heinous, psychopathic, anything else, flying an airplane into a building isn't exactly cowardly. But don't start backing away from it now because you're afraid Walt's going to can you. Was meant for politicians who, fearing public reaction, have not allowed our military to do the job they are obviously ready, willing, and able to do, and who now will, I am certain, as they always have, get it done. Maher contrasted the U.S. military's actions with those taken by attackers who flew the hijacked commercial airliners to the World Trade Center. Staying in the airplane when it hits the building, say what you want about it, it's not cowardly. We have been the cowards lobbing cruise missiles from 2,000 miles away. That's cowardly. In a statement supporting Maher, ABC said his program is a show that celebrates freedom of speech and encourages the animated exchange of ideas and opinions. While we remain sensitive to the current climate following last week's tragedy, there needs to blah, 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 blah. Bill and his guests have every right to voice their freedom of speech, unless, of course, they say something that we don't agree with, in which case we will fire him, according to an ABC spokesman. Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. We celebrate Bill Maher's right to free speech, unless, of course, his ratings dip below a 2-share, in which case we'll throw him into the street like garbage, so said an ABC spokesman who, oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. He didn't say that. Bill Maher is one of the great, brilliant minds of our time and continues to do great work, expressing himself in a creative and a courageous fashion. Although His show has great ratings. If it ever gets below a two share, his ass is on the street, and we won't defend his right to ask for a stick of gum. Whoops, I misread that. Okay, let's go over to Autumn, who's the one that started all of this. Autumn, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Excuse me while I contain my hysterics here.
You know that's true, too, don't you? You know, Bill Maher is a fine man with a great show, unless, of course...
And he's a lumberjack, and he's okay.
Yeah.
It's all a question of context, you know? And excuse me, Mike, for not getting to my first point, but, you know, this is ludicrous. This is absolutely ludicrous. You made those comments, but in a different context, yes, you know, days and days ago. Cowardly, okay, within his reality, he is a hero.
Within the reality of a guy who's the guy that with the hijackers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Within his reality, and that was your context. You know, I don't necessarily agree with Bill Maher's context. A friend of mine called me up and said, hey, did you hear about this guy on Politically Incorrect who said this thing and had his advertisers blow him out of the water? He's off the air. And I said, Jesus, you know, Phil Hendry said this, you know, ages ago.
Yeah, well, nobody's listening to me.
I am.
Thank you.
I am.
Everybody's watching Bill. And
hey, look, I got an IQ they can't clock, and I make over 85K. What do you want for nothing?
And you live in Santa Cruz.
And I live in the Santa Cruz Mountains.
85K in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and you're not a mule skinner or anything?
By remote control. We'll
wow.
talk about that later.
You're telecommuting. You're a telecommuting mule skinner?
No. Okay. No, I write words that go to the Super Bowl. But the
you do? Seriously, you do?
I do that. You know, did you hear RuPaul? You know, we've got to start meeting like this. Well, I wrote that. Anyway,
cool.
But the point is that Virginia, ahead of me, she got me fired up because I have been to northern India. I have been as far north as the corner of the Punjab and Himachal Pradesh, which is a spit away from Afghanistan and Pakistan. You know, Pakistan is right there.
Mm-hmm.
I, in fact, was on a bus that was boarded by guys with machine guns who pulled a guy off kicking and screaming while I wrapped a cloak of invisibility around me as, you know, one of two white people on the bus.
Whoa.
And let me tell you, that was Harry in 1988. So this has been a volatile place for a long time. And I'm telling you, these people can't keep butter from spoiling. How are they going to keep nukes? I've been there. I don't think they can do it either. And I concur absolutely on the issue.
I don't have any doubt that that someday, you know, it's a funny thing about the nuclear age and nuclear weapons. Okay, here came America, and we had a bomb, and we blew it up, and then the Russians got a hold of it, and of course we put the Goldbergs to death because we said, if you hadn't sold them the secret, why, we'd have the bomb to the... Which, of course, was baloney, so
yeah,
we put
right.
two innocent people to death
exactly.
for that. And then gradually, if anybody had a brain in their head, the British got a hold of it, the French got a hold of it, the Indians got a hold of it, the Pakistanis got a hold of it, I don't know who else, South Africa.
And who else?
Yeah.
Right.
And so eventually, yeah, sooner or later, some guy's going to get that thing. But the only country, the only entity in the history of the world to use a nuclear weapon in a hostile manner
Raise
is guess
hands.
Who? Raise our hands, folks. America.
Hallelujah.
We're so paranoid and so frightened of every, the only nation.
Me or when I hear people talk about tactical nuclear weapons, okay, I have a problem with language. Maybe it's just me, you know, when people say anal retentive, does it have a hyphen? I say, okay, well, is it as a noun or is it a compound modifier?
This is a writer speaking,
Thank
folks.
You, darling.
I lost her 5 minutes ago, but I'm enjoying
you're
this.
You're very good. That's why I worship at your feet. So at any rate, you know, I just don't get these people.
Tactical nuclear weapon, is that
because
a...
Because tactical nuclear weapons, there's no such thing. What part of mutation do you not understand?
I think that's something
what
that
part
you,
of
you...
We've got conventional weapons up the wazoo that can do all the damage we need to do
right.
without introducing a mutation factor. Am I nuts?
Well, no, but what's happening is the fear and the loathing and the people who are now coming
fear
up with every
sci-fi... Very good.
Yeah, all kinds of sci-fi scenarios because, you know, it's been all through the building today and you know, my wife said to me that my wife is traveling right now back east, and she said, "Well,
by Wendy, plane?
Yeah, she flew. It was fantastic. Southwest Airlines, yay!" She said
they're
it was
making jokes at the end. I hope.
Hey, Southwest was, you know, there's a great little story. Southwest Airlines, they're packed to the gills. They're flying people all over
Good
the place.
Form.
They're doing great. But she said, you know, everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop. A friend of mine I talked today in New York. He doesn't want to go into Manhattan. He usually goes into Manhattan with his wife for dinner on the weekends. And all of this is based upon a lot of chit-chat and internet chat and people saying, when do you think the next one's going to happen? I firmly believe that
they shot their wad.
Well, they may have shot their wad. I think what they did was they couldn't have done it without killing themselves. Can we just be clear on this, folks?
Mm-hmm.
If they're so sophisticated and if they have so much at their disposal, they had to. Okay, Eddie, are you ready? We're going to really get laid out.
Okay.
You sure? I
got
to kill myself.
We got your Maha Molotov cocktail here for you, baby.
Exactly.
Right here for you.
The only way they could touch us is by killing themselves as well. So I think these are things we need to keep in mind. All right. Well, you keep writing the Super Bowl stuff, and I'll be looking for it.
Take care.
All right, kid. Thanks. She's nuts. Where'd you find her? I like her. That's Autumn up there in the hills of Santa Cruz. See what I mean? You have to calm down and use your head. They had to kill themselves. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, they want to do that, Phil. That's part of the jihad. That's part of getting to heaven and everything else. Well, not all the time. I mean, they obviously have to have warriors left. If they could have effected this without sacrificing themselves, I have a strong hunch they would have done it. If they could have blown the World Trade Center to bits, attacked the Pentagon, and achieved the slaughter that they achieved without killing themselves, you want to know how much of a heroic guys I think they are? I don't think they would have killed themselves. I think they would have done it I don't think they would have sacrificed themselves. It was the only thing they could do. And it being the only thing they could do, Bin Laden told them, well, don't worry about it because you'll be heroes, you'll go to heaven, there'll be seven virgins, and your families will be taken care of here, courtesy of my pappy. Now, I believe that is what took place. Or maybe something else. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Long, long lesson. Long period of time it takes to learn the lessons of being a sensitive guy on the radio or TV. And I mean, you have to have been through the fire at a level perhaps a little bit lower than national television to get it. And when you're working a nightclub, it's one thing. When you're on television, when you're broadcasting right into the farmhouses and apartments and homes of Americans, it's a whole different ball of wax. It's a whole different ballgame, and believe me, I know because I've been there. And after the Oklahoma City bombing, I made some comments that I wished I hadn't on my local show in Miami, and I got all kinds of crap for that. Because what happens is, first of all, you're far removed from the event. Secondly, you got a show to do. You want to see if you can make some kind of political hay out of it. The last thing that is on the mind of any performer who has a show to do on any given day is the well-being or sensitivities of other people. You may think it's the opposite. You may think that a performer, a comic, an actor has nothing but your interests at heart. Forget it. The last thing that we think of is how are people feeling about this. The first thing we're thinking of is how can I write a joke about it? And then you get your ass kicked, and then you realize you can't do that anymore. Then you do it again, you get your ass kicked a little bit more until finally you're beaten into the submission of knowing this is a huge event, I better watch what I say because it could backfire. And I learned that lesson the hard way. That's why when this happened, we went immediately into El Sensitivo News Taco Modo. And I say that with great respect and honor, and I feel, in other words, what I did is I clicked into how do I feel about it? How do I really feel? I'm scared. I'm worried for my country. I clicked into that, and I got on the air with that, and I did it in a manner that was completely uncloaked and uncamouflaged, and we dispensed with all the character voices, and we dispensed with all the comedy. But that's after getting my ass kicked a few times. Bill Maher gets on the air and makes a comment about cowardly. He may be right. He may be wrong. It may be a very interesting point of view. Wrong time to make the comment. Wrong. And had he had his ass kicked a few times as the result, he would not have made that comment. As a result of doing it before, he wouldn't have made that comment. And you may say, oh, come on, he's an experienced stand-up comic, Hendry. He's been through the wars. He's been through more than you. Oh, yeah? Then how come he turns around and makes an apology like this? This is a guy who was stunned, who got caught with his hand in his thing. All right, anyway, enough about him. 1-800-449-8686. Thank God we're going back to the comedy on Monday, because judging by the phone response today, it's not a second too soon. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here's Todd. Todd, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Todd. Hey, Phil,
hey.
How you doing?
How you doing, Phil?
Good. Listen, I love your show. I listen to it all the time, and you give me lots of laughs.
You're very kind.
I had to call because I agree with everything you're saying, but I take issue with this woman that's up in the hills of Santa Cruz making $85K, sending stuff to the Super Bowl, and saying raise our hands for the only country in the world that's dropping an atomic bomb.
Well, I said that.
Huh?
I said that. I said we were the only. I said you know who the only country was, and she said let's raise our hands, folks.
Well,
meaning
I
we
know,
are.
But the issue I have with that is we're the only country historically over the last chunk of time when push comes to shove that we step up. And we step up for everybody else, and it's time that they step up for us. And
well, wait a minute. What exactly do you have? Are you taking exception to that
I'm
she
taking
said?
Exception to sort of the notion, or at least the tone that I got from you guys, that it was something that we shouldn't have done.
No.
Okay.
You missed it.
Okay.
Here's what we were saying.
All right.
We were talking about the likelihood of a terrorist organization using a nuclear weapon. And we went down through the history of countries that developed nuclear devices from the United States first, then the Soviet Union, and then, of course, we had India and Britain and China
right.
and France and South Africa, Pakistan, and a variety of nations. And then,
right.
and if you follow that trail down, ever de-escalating or ever down the up staircase, if you will, you, I guess, naturally arrive at terrorist organization. And down through the years and down through the long line of countries that had developed nuclear weapons,
right.
the only country to ever use one in a hostile manner was America.
Well,
and
wait,
I was
wait,
saying
wait,
that
wait,
to make
wait,
the... Whoa, 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 baby. Whoa, man, I'm not done. I'm not done.
Okay. Sorry,
I'm not done. I'm
Go
not
ahead.
Done.
Go ahead.
Therefore, since the only time it's ever been used was way back in 1945 you,
right.
by us, and even so much as these other nations haven't used it, what's the likelihood that a terrorist organization is going to use it? That was the only point I was trying to make. Not saying
okay.
that they wouldn't. I'm just saying, what do you suppose the odds are? That's all.
Probably pretty slim. Probably pretty slim. But, I think the one thing that's very, very important is right now, I mean, for the most part, that we really all pull together and try to see that this is something that we don't have a choice in. I mean, we do not have a choice in. And I've been listening to you for the last few weeks and the last few years and getting laughs every morning from you. And I agree, probably Monday you need to go back to something a little lighter. But on the serious side,
because
I'm a Miami guy and I've listened to everything you did with Brian Cox and all of that, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
That's all right. You don't have to qualify what you're going to say. Go ahead.
I'm not. I'm just letting you know that I do have a point, and this is a time that we don't have a choice but to do what we're doing.
I agree.
And
I'll go you
and
one
this,
further.
This rascal over there with the long beard.
Rascal.
And the turban on its head.
Make him sound like he's got a beanie with a propeller on his head.
Yeah,
rascal.
Well, that's about how I see him, and I wish I were at the age where I could go over there and suit up and find a foxhole and take a poke at this rascal because
you like this
you're
rascal
absolutely
too.
Right. He took a crap
like
on
the rascal
country,
house.
And it's time that,
All right.
I
agree with you, Todd.
I
don't disagree with anything you're saying.
Great.
I'll go you one better.
Okay.
You want to hear this?
Absolutely.
And I mean this. I mean every word of this.
Okay.
If we find out that they use biological weapons on us, that's when I say we break our nukes out.
I agree.
That's when I say we bust out.
That worries me big time.
Oh, well, but it doesn't worry me big time. And I gave the reasons, but I won't go. If I don't want you to be worried, but if you are, okay. But if it ever came to that, and thank you very much, Todd, for your call. If it ever came to that, that's when I say we bust out the nukes. No problem, no sweat, just roll, baby. Like the man said, let's roll. And, because that's when the gloves come off, and then I know what people are going to say. Well, now it's going to be a world war. Look, I'm not saying it's going to happen, okay? But I have to respond to all of these people with their biological weapon this and their chemical warfare that and all of the screaming and crying and hysteria-producing commentary that's been going on, completely irresponsible, completely and totally apart from the point of anything that we're talking about. All right, okay, here's my... If you're worried about biological weapons, yes, we are. Okay, you want to know what Phil will do? What? Drop the freaking nuke. How about that? Does that make you feel better? That we got. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget tonight on all four major networks, a telethon for the victims in New York and Washington. This is The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. You know, the Taliban has said, at least according to CNN, the Taliban has said the following, that they would cooperate with handing over Osama bin Laden if the United States produces the proof of his guilt. And at first glance, you think, well, that's not an unreasonable suggestion until you realize these guys are just stalling for time, man. They're just stalling for time. And if you were handing it over to a responsible body of illegal minds, people schooled in international as well as their own national law, you might have some confidence. Who are you giving this to? Some cats sitting around a hookah? I don't know. And I say that with great respect to our Islamic friends. I don't consider that. I go with the president on this one. These guys aren't even Islamic. These cats are some kind of mutation of weirdness. You know, they look, get out of here with that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Justin, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, what's going on?
How are you?
You got a good show, appreciate listening to you. But, hey, I want to say I agree with you on the fact that, you know, we got a lot of Arabics and Muslims and, you know, that are U.S. citizens, and just because they're, you know, here and they're citizens, I mean, why do people have to assume that they had something to do with it? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
That's what I just said.
Right. Well, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I thought you did. You just made reference to it.
Okay. Anyway, people need to look at it that these people, if they're citizens of the United States, they're paying taxes. They're taxpayers. So why would they have anything to do with it? Second of all, I have an outlook on if I were in the Middle East somewhere working as an American over there, and you know, minding my own business and a group of Americans go over and, you know, bomb something or blow something up, I have nothing to do with it. The next thing I know, I'm walking to work and some guy's kicking my ass because he thinks I have something to do with it.
Right. You're profiled, I mean, man. You're profiled as one of the bad guys. Right.
Right. And that's exactly what, I mean, we have enough problems in America as far as racism and stuff. I mean, yeah. Why did, you know, just because this happens, I mean, why?
Well, it happens, though, already. It happens, Justin, already. You can be walking down the street. Hey, have you ever just you know, with all due respect to our fine British friends, try walking through a poor neighborhood in Liverpool, for instance, and have somebody hear your American accent. Walk into a pub and open your mouth when you order a beer, and they hear the American accent, and they immediately look at you, and immediately you're assumed to be some kind of a roaring clown, some slob who has this problem and that problem, that, and you got to start answering everybody's questions about what's wrong with America.
Right.
It's a real drag.
No, I understand. I lived in Australia for a few years, and that's exactly how it was.
Exactly. I mean, it just assumptions are made. And I think that you've traveled, and so have I, and I think if more Americans got out of the country and got a nose full of what it's like to walk into the wrong bar, walk into a restaurant, to open your big fat bazoo in France and not know any French, and oh, here comes the Yanks, and you are profiled and treated like a turd, and you know, it's a drag, and you just... Who needs it, man? And it's all done because they got some axe to grind with our government.
Right. And, you know, and I see this stuff about, you know, these people getting kicked off of airplanes because they, you know, like you said, they have a deep tan or whatever. I mean, that's a bunch of crap. I mean, there's doctors that are from, you know, the Middle East that are saving people's lives over here by doing surgery, and they can't even leave their own house.
Well, so we got the logic. Yeah, I mean, we're thinking straight, man. That's a start. Thanks for calling, Justin. What are you going to do? And so what I try to do is I try to shock people in acting like human beings. And I mention the names again, and I think they're worth repeating again. If I can find it, the guys who gave their lives on Flight 93, these four, they mentioned four names, and there probably were more. The first soldiers to fall, in my opinion, in this campaign slash war against terrorism, Todd Beamer, Jeremy Glick, Mark Bingham, Lou Nacki. And you go around and behave like that, you dishonor and disgrace their memory. Think about that. You sit there and talk about the raghead that lives next door and this and that. You disgrace those people, and you aren't helping your country at all. But you know what? We've talked enough about it. I get the feeling the people who go out and do that stuff couldn't care less about their country. They don't give a crap about what I'm saying. And they don't care anything about America. What they care about is just making themselves feel better because they're mad and they're scared. Here's Jenny on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
How you doing?
Just fine. I just have a comment. As far as on the biological warfare, I don't have any worries about it just because they had to use our planes to get us. So, you know, how are they going to get their biological warfare over here if they have to use our stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, if you think logically about some of this stuff, it becomes a kind of a low percentage option.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that, you know, if anybody else is listening, it's not a big, I personally don't think it's a big worry.
All right, Jenny.
I think you have other things to worry about.
You going to watch football this weekend?
No, I'm not.
All right.
I don't watch football.
Okay, good. I saw you calling from Kansas City. I thought maybe you had an opinion, but that was I'm profiling you. Just because you're in Kansas City, I profile you as a Chief fan, and that's wrong of me. That's wrong of me, and I apologize.
And it's not a big deal.
I feel terrible about it.
But, I do work with a lot of people that are into the Chiefs and all that stuff, and they were talking about today that instead of, you know, everybody, saying go Chiefs, instead they should be saying go USA. And,
yeah, exactly.
And having their flags instead of using the Chiefs flags, like, because you're going to have red and white on the Chiefs, and then I guess.
And they can paint their faces blue. Yeah. Are they playing the Giants? There you go. Yeah, it's going to be an emotional weekend. I mean, I think we ought to get ready for all manner of patriotic display, which is cool. Do you guys remember Whitney Houston singing the national anthem before the Gulf War started? That was at the Super Bowl. And I understand one of the stadiums is giving out flashcards so that when everybody holds them up, it'll say, God bless America in red, white, and blue. And I was thinking, you better not screw that up.
Yes.
I don't know what stadium that is, but if I got to watch that on TV and it says something like, bless, save, God, America, you know, and it's all messed up, I'm going to be really disappointed. Okay, Jenny.
I agree.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye. Jack, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Jack?
Hey, hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I've been listening to you for a while now.
Thanks.
I just got a couple points to make about what my real views about this Middle East thing is. From what I understand, you lived overseas also?
No, I didn't live. I've just traveled. I haven't lived there, no.
I have lived overseas, and to be spat at and beat up because you're an American is quite an awakening situation where you think, you know, everything's hunky-dory, and then you find out, holy crap, people really don't like us.
Yeah, some people don't, yeah.
Quite a lot of them. I've traveled quite extensively.
You must have gotten your ass kicked in a lot of different places, huh?
There has been a few times.
I can tell you, Jack.
You protect yourself well.
Well, I've never gotten beat up.
Well, that's what I was really getting at. So you didn't really think about this, and most people who live inside the fishbowl of America and don't travel outside to see what's really happening, especially with the news that they're spoon-fed through the AP.
Well, look, Jack. Just so you know, I've traveled to communist countries. I've been treated beautifully.
Exactly.
By some
places have been like that, and some places haven't.
Right.
But what really gets me is that, okay, we go kill some terrorists, right? What's that going to solve? It's not going to solve the reason why they don't want to come bomb us anymore. All right. So let's find out what Bin Laden wants. And I believe he made an interview 2-3 years ago with somebody. He said the points were one. Get out of Saudi Arabia. You've got no right being there. You've got no reason to be there in our Holy Land, which may be the case for Muslim people. Two, stop funding Israel, which just happens to be the biggest aggressor in the Middle East since it was formed 50 years ago in 48, or whenever one of us. Three, we don't want your Western civilization in my country. Fine. We don't like theirs. Keep it out. They don't like ours. Keep ours out.
All of that may be true, but we don't have the luxury of discussing that right now. We might have had the luxury of discussing that a year ago or 6 months ago or last week, but we don't have the luxury now. Now we have an agenda where that's at number 600 on our list of things that we need to do. We have to find this man and prosecute him. He is a fugitive from justice. He is a fugitive from the FBI, from Interpol. He has a $5 million bounty on his head. What he thinks no longer matters. He is a criminal, a felon, and he is wanted. by a variety of police agencies, so he can go take his philosophy of what needs to be done in the Middle East and jam it. Now, you, Jack, I think make some very good points. I disagree with Israel being the greatest aggressor in the history of the Middle East, although you may have a problem with Israel on some other level that I'm not necessarily, seeing. We have an interest in the Middle East. It's called oil. And I think we need to get out of there. I agree with you. We need to get the hell out of the Middle East so fast that it would make our heads spin. But that's going to take years, decades. Well, decades.
I just don't understand why since World War II we've been handing Israel $3 billion a year to start.
Well, they're a brother, they're a brother democracy. They have a democratic system of government. If you can name me one Arab nation that's democratic, I mean, they are despotic, medieval sheikdoms. What the hell? That stuff went out in Europe 100 years ago, and we're still in bed with these guys.
I'm afraid to walk down my streets of Boston without
Well, maybe you'd
mugged.
Like a sheik running
right.
the country. Well, would you like a king?
You go to Saudi Arabia,
right? That's great. Yeah,
and
if you're not a woman.
There's very strict rules.
Yeah,
they don't have rape.
Do you drink?
They don't have murder.
Do you drink?
They don't have crime like we have here in the States. You got to understand the Muslim law.
I understand the Muslim law, and I understand the concept of having a Führer. And in Nazi Germany, it was pretty safe, too. I mean, if you'd like, we can elect a king here. Well, what do you want, man?
Some real fairness. When you get back to Israel, okay, that we're handing all these people all this money that absolutely don't do anything for us except take our money, okay? And I've got Joe Blow down the street.
Can I ask you a question? Why are you ready to find fault with a democratic society and you're ready to back up a sheik and a king and people who have nothing in common with our country? Why are you ready to back them up?
Have you ever lived overseas?
I don't need to have lived overseas, Jack. My mind can be wrapped around the concept of democracy as opposed to a medieval kingdom. That's
if
all I'm
you
asking
haven't
you.
Lived it, you have
oh,
no
I see. Okay. So we're. I got
is.
You. All right. Hey,
That's
Jack.
Exactly
are you me? Are you me?
Country,
unless
so
you're
I've
me, you don't know
there.
What I'm thinking. Okay.
Really
hey, Jack. Have you ever lived in California?
Hell no.
Okay, then you don't know Jack about me, and you don't know anything about my state, and you have no business calling here. Now that makes about as that makes about as much sense. That makes about as much sense as what you just said about if I haven't lived overseas, then I don't know what I'm talking about. The fact is, you're willing to back with your comments a medieval kingdom as opposed to a fellow democracy, and I'm just asking you. And your reason for that is because it's safe. That's your reason.
One of the reasons why I see that these countries aren't as bad as people say they are to be. To mince words and throw them back at someone is, come on.
You said it was safe.
We're on the air now. Let's try to be mature adults about this.
I'm talking like a mature adult. You said it's safe in Saudi Arabia. That's your number one primary overriding concern about why you back up those people. There's no rape, there's no crime.
I'm not saying we're backing them up, but let's take a look at it for what it is.
It's a despotic, evil, it's a kingdom. It's a kingdom.
It is a kingdom.
They have a
Who
king.
Who cares if it's a kingdom or democracy? You really think that
I do. I'm an American.
Country?
I don't know where you're from. I don't know what country you were born in. I'm an American. I value democratic institutions and other countries that value them as well. Now, where
I
are you
love
from?
That too.
Where are you from?
I really
from?
Don't have a problem with it, but please don't mince my words and say that I'm backing a Saudi government. I say that it's safe there because I've been there.
And what's your problem with Israel?
My problem with Israel is that we keep sending them money, which they don't do anything for us. But like I said,
they don't do anything for us.
Down the street,
they have a democratic representation in that part of the world.
Who cares about their representation?
I know. In other words, you don't want me mincing words, but you haven't had the courage yet to say what you're really saying, which is you would prefer to have a dictator, a Führer, protecting Jack's ass up there in Maine, as opposed to the foibles and the sometimes insecurities of a democracy. That's what you're talking about. You don't like Israel because they're not doing anything for us. It's a democratic presence in that part of the world. It is a military ally in that part of the world. It's a diplomatic representation in that part of the world. They do a lot for us, and they did
military
a hell of a lot for
ally.
Us during the Gulf War. As opposed to Saudi Arabia, what's that?
How exactly do they help us in the Middle East?
They represent us in terms of diplomacy. They represent us in terms of intelligence, and they represent us. Did you want me to answer the question? I guess not.
They haven't solved anything.
Oh, you want them to solve the terrorism problem?
No, I didn't say that. That he's been fighting terrorism for the past 50 years.
Who has? Who has?
Israel has.
Yeah, little Israel. Little Israel, surrounded by their enemies. They have been fighting, and they've been surviving. And
you
know what you need to do, Jack? You need to move out of Maine and come to the big city, maybe, and find out what the real world is all about, okay?
Big city because of dumb bureaucracy.
I don't even think you ever really did live in a big city. I think you lived in a big city.
You know,
you peed in your pants.
That's a wonderful, wonderful speculation.
I think you lived in the big city. You wet yourself one too many times, and you fled for the woods. I think that's what you did. I think the world scares you, Jack. I do.
Oh, man, Phil.
I do. I think
one.
The world really scares you, man, okay? So we'll try to protect you. See you later. This is a guy that wants the security of a Saudi kingdom where there's no rape and there's no pillage and there's nothing. And he can't answer the question about Israel. Exactly what do they do for us down there? They represent us in terms of intelligence and diplomacy. They are a military ally in that part of the world. If you want to know what Israel does for us, the intelligence and the military presence that they exhibited there during the Gulf War, for starters, was a very mitigating influence on that conflict, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. I'm going to cry. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I stand by everything I say in this show. I stand by all of it. I don't apologize to anybody, although I would like to apologize to anybody living in a small town when I made those references about coming to the big city to that last guy named Frank. But other than that, I don't apologize. You guys that live in a small city, I didn't mean anything about, you know, what you know, you go to a big city because you're afraid of living in the big city. You go to a small city because you're afraid of living in a big city. I didn't mean that. In that guy's case, I thought it was true, but then the rest of you cats are great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. As a matter of fact, I'd like to welcome our newest affiliate in Jackson, Michigan, to the Phil Hendry Show, Hendry Nation. All right, where are we at, Mike? Here we go to Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there, Phil.
How you doing?
That last guy sounds like he'd feel more comfortable living in Singapore or a place like that.
Where they cane people.
Right. Well, the reason I called is everybody's been having all these wonderful like numerological theories about the number 11 and other things. I think there's a lot of parallels to the Godfather movies is what's going on. I know you're a big fan of the Godfather, right?
Yeah, it's a cool movie. I'm not as big a fan as I used to be, but it's a tremendous...
Well, if you can indulge me, listen to a couple scenarios there. Like when Sollozzo went to kill Don Corleone, so basically Osama bin Laden is Sollozzo, and he's being protected by the police captain, in this case the Taliban. They didn't get the job done. Basically, there's two planes that didn't make it, the one at the Pentagon was supposed to hit the White House, and the other one that those brave guys in Pennsylvania brought down were supposed to go to the Capitol building, according to the news. So he's going to be on the run. I think he's going to be like, we're going to go settle all family business. And I think if you think of these guys kind of like a mafia organization, I'm sure they use murder and violence to keep their lines in rank.
Yeah. I bet you they obviously use murder as an enforcement tool within their own organization. And I do have an instinct. Tell me I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I do have an instinct that we got them a little bit on the run. You know, and I don't mean anything by that then. I think it's the normal thought process of a criminal to go into hiding after he commits a crime, don't you?
I agree. And the thing is, though, I mean, if you think about it, because I'm sure, like, even...
You got to watch that S stuff, man.
I'm sorry about that. I forgot about that.
No problem.
But doing all this nasty stuff, some of them had to have a conscience, and I'm sure they were punished and killed by like, the SS, even their own ranks, because they didn't get with the program. So I'm sure that in the... In this particular organization, they probably...
It'd be a hell of a life looking over your shoulder, not only at the governments that want your neck, but the individuals who may want to take over your organization. Although this is an organization of individuals who are motivated by religious fervor as opposed to money, like Bush made the point the other night. And religious fervor, man, there's no quantifying, you know. You can't pay those guys necessarily, although some of them I think you can. Some of them I think you can compromise with a buck. Find them, pay them, and corrupt them, compromise them, and send them in and do the job. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.